Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I am your host to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you love a determiner, and FamilyPetAncestry.com brings you to JackieCation.com because it makes me laugh to this very day. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg and his wife Sarah Cohen sing. Mike composed the song for the intro to the Dork Forest. He will sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of this program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does the website, JackieCation.com. What else? You guys know I have a new CD, and it was on charts. It's called I Am Not the Hero of the Story, and it is great. I'm very proud of it. You should buy it digitally. You can get it at all the places. You can just listen to it for free at all the places, or you can get a hard copy of a CD from me at JackieCation.com on the merch page. Also on the merch page, different t-shirts and the rest of my CDs and the DVD from Horcrux, which was my last album, which was also a DVD. The new album, just an album, so know in your hearts. Also at JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there is an Amazon portal where you can support the show by, when you shop at Amazon, using that portal, only in the United States, I'm afraid, only using that portal, you just shop as normal at Amazon. And the Dork Forest gets a little bit of a kickback. So I appreciate if you shop at Amazon if you do that. Other than that, you may directly support the show by donating using the PayPal button on the website. At least one person likes to do it via Venmo, but you can donate monthly if you like. I have not made that easy. I'm sure there's a way. I know there is. So you have to remember every month that you like the show. And send me another $10 if that's what you want to do. And I totally appreciate it. The Dork Forest is part of a larger podcasting group called AllThingsComedy.com, which is Al Madrigal's umbrella podcasting group. And there are a lot of great podcasts there, including Aaron Foley's Sports Without Balls and Bill Burr's podcast and 1 jillion other podcasts. So get on that if you're looking for more pods at allthingscomedy.com. This Week in Stand-Up Comedy, my full calendar, of course, always available at JackieCation.com. You can also follow me on social media at JackieCation on all the things, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. And you can go to the Ranger page on Facebook if you want to interact with other Rangers of the Dork Forest, which is, I believe, if you Google the words Facebook, the Dork Forest, you will find it. Other than that, in stand-up comedy news this very week, I am going to be at Bridgetown in Portland, Oregon, doing a live Dork Forest, a live Jackie and Lori podcast, which is my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin on the Nerdist Network, and a bunch of stand-up shows in Portland, Oregon. All right. Well, that seems to be a lot of information. Enough of it. If I've missed something, tune into the next episode where maybe I'll do all the informations. But it's a great episode, so thanks for listening. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm back in my living room, you guys. I'm off the boat, got my sea legs off, and I'm sitting here with the first of the new run, the non-ocean-bearing episodes. Hello, David Huntsberger. Welcome back.
Well, hello, Jackie Cation. Thank you for having me back. I talked to you right before you set sail.
Right before I set right. I did a phone into your space cave.
Yeah.
Which is your new podcast.
It is.
Because you were doing one with over there at Earwolf, I think, right?
Correct. Or yeah, yeah. And now my new one is entirely independent.
Oh, that's
no,
nice.
No network. It's me doing everything. I like that. There's a lot of work that goes in, but you're doing
right.
It here.
I do All Things Comedy, and All Things Comedy helps me, and I try to help everybody who's on All Things Comedy.
Yeah.
And they have a recording studio, but it's a podcast. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's not organize to make a third person have to show up. It's hard enough. I do Jackie and Lori over at Nerdist.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm just going to show up and do. Well, it turns out it's a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah.
And just because you have to schedule the time to do it.
Yeah.
And then another person.
Oh, yeah.
This is just me and you. And I'm like, what are you doing on 11 a.m. on a Tuesday or whatever day it is, Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's the nature of podcasting, what made it if it,
that's what
if,
made it work.
Great's a strong word, but maybe if it was great at any point, that's what it was. Like, it's just people chatting, and I get to kind of be a fly on the wall.
And it's accessible. And like, yeah. Genuinely, any of us can do it, which is why there are so many of them.
Yeah.
And it's a learned skill as you go along. You get better at it. And so whatever it is. But so the new one's called Space Cave, and it's thespacecave.com.
Correct.
And it's you interviewing space people.
I do artists as well. I like to have kind of a mix. Anyone that has an interesting either level of research and or point of view on the world, creating things and or researching them. But yeah, I've talked to a lot of like Caltech people and JPL people. And
Yeah. I got some folk if you need them.
I would love that. Yeah. They're
a couple of my favorite episodes. A guy named Robert Hurt, who does all the art for the Spitzer Telescope.
Really?
Yeah, he's, you know, this is the word he doesn't like, that is the only word that I could think of, colorization. Uh-huh. Essentially because all the telescope pictures are in black and white.
Yeah.
He paints them, and it's and there's a key, and the colors all mean something. So he's an astrophysicist, but he's also an artist.
Well, I would love to talk to him, because that's one of those things I always think, like, can we trust any pictures we see of space? Because they are essentially all sort of photoshopped in a way.
Right.
So you're like, oh, this is what space probably looks like. Like, no, it doesn't. It's really dark.
Well, it's not super colorful.
Yeah.
But it sure is cool looking. that's the guy then. That's the guy.
Sweet.
You want.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And that's the whole show. It's well, and I also call in. I'll have people like tweet their telephone number, and I'll just call strangers for like a short, like 10-minute chat.
Oh, we did that.
It's fun, right?
I forget where I was, but I was in a hotel room somewhere, and we talked for a 10 minutes about the Joko cruise and how I was going on the Nerd cruise.
Yeah.
And how I was a little frightened because it was going to be a week trapped on a cruise with what I thought was 5,000 people was actually only 2,000.
Oh.
Like 1,780 people.
Way better.
And I will show you later, I was given buttons that I could wear that said, no, I don't want to do friendship right now. I swear to God, there's a yes button and a no button. It was, I kept them. I literally am trying to work up the guts to wear them out in public.
So this was like 2,000 introverts coming up with a sort of a solution as to how to be polite and saying like, I just want to kind of go about my life.
But I want to be around like-minded individuals. And I was explaining to Rebecca Sugar, she's the, she was one of the guests as well, like myself, except for that she is an executive producer and creator of a cartoon called Steven Universe.
Oh, yeah. She's very young. She's like a world record holder in show running.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, well, I mean, saying
I got to meet her and her brother, Steven.
What?
Yeah. She said, would you like to meet Steven? This is my brother, Steven. And I said, is it Steven of Steven? And she goes, yeah. Yeah, it's Steven.
Cool.
And she's introverted. She's very shy, soft-spoken, but she writes all the music for it. So she's also a performer. And we were talking about how there's two different ways that this sort of bad social skill thing can manifest. And one of them is a real introverty kind of silent way. And another one is what I used to be until stand-up comedy bled off most of my energy, which is a super fucking loud introvert where I need to shut it.
But your childhood stories are so fascinating to me because you – like the kind of whimsical, like, how do you make friends? Okay. Like going away, just being kind of like ill-adjusted.
Right. I figured it out.
You figured it out. And you're like – it just – when you say like you're loud, that doesn't really – it doesn't immediately click with me. I'm like, oh, I don't picture
I'm
you
much better now. I'm much better now. It's a journey, David Huntsberger. By the way, it's at Huntsberger Junk for the Twitter. If you want
red hot tweets.
Red hot tweets. You just start tweeting your phone number to David. He might call you.
I feel like I'm followed by a lot of people that go, I was hoping this would be better.
I've gotten a lot of questions in the last 3 months. Why so political?
Yeah.
Aren't you a comic? And I'm like, well, the great thing about your social media is all politics. And I was like, my social media doesn't have to be funny.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of political comedy just because it has to be funny. And my social media is not hilarious always. It is occasionally hilarious.
Yeah. Everyone thinking that their little like chime in is going to make some sort of an impact. It just, if nothing else, that election taught me that social commentary, like specifically comedically has no bearing on anything. It has no impact.
Oh, it's not gonna.
It does nothing. Like if that were the case,
it's soothing.
It's soothing. It makes you go, okay, good. Someone else is out there.
Right. You're never alone. Yeah. That's the good thing about it. But it's not gonna. I mean, it doesn't. The cadre of evildoers are still sitting over there.
Yeah.
The cartoonishly evil fuckwits are all just milling around.
Well, that's why I liked, and this sounds so dumb, like, you know, it was a lot of fun of those protests. Like, that Women's March was a lot of fun, but it was,
yeah,
there was a good feeling you get out of it beyond just feeling like, I'm a good person. It was like, oh, there's a ton of other people that are pissed off.
Yes.
This feels good. This feels good. Right. Like, I'm not alone. I'm not some
lunatic. I haven't protested in decades. Augie Smith yesterday was making fun of like old liberals, mm-hmm. of which he is becoming one of.
Sure, yeah.
And so we're riffing back and forth of the things old liberals say. And I said, I sat in against apartheid. And he was like, oh my God, you do win. And I was like, there are older people than me that cared about Vietnam.
Oh, when you're actually physically walking in the people that you pass, the ones that know how to, like, we set up on top of this tractor, we'll be here all day. You can tell they've dusted off a lot of old signs or a lot of old clothing. Like, we're getting the gang back together. And that was funny to watch. Like,
it is funny to watch. And it's funny to watch their grandkids are with them or their kids are with them. And the Andy and I went to the travel ban protest down at LAX. I went to LAX when I didn't have to go to LAX, David Huntsberger.
Oh, I did too.
Oh,
that was,
I felt strong in my sense of self. I was like,
were you there when this was kind of later in the day, they had one bullhorn and they got everyone to just kind of sit down.
No.
And then people would come into the center and grab the bullhorn that had a radius. Well, it had a projection of maybe 15 feet. So pretty decent, aimed directly at you.
Right. So but like five rows back pointed that way.
Yeah, it could get you. But the
people
sort of
behind you.
The swath was only about 5 feet wide.
Right.
So everyone else in this giant circle was just sitting there going, eh. And then you'd hear someone start clapping and people would start clapping like, they must have said something great. No one was hearing anything.
And yet we're surrounded by audio engineers here in Los Angeles. Yeah. It's like whenever I drive around Los Angeles and I see how well lit people's houses are, I was like, oh, light design. Someone does light design. This city is full of incredibly talented, hardworking. Yeah. There's got to be someone who's got some chops on the sound engineering.
Well, you'd think they would be as compelled as sort of like the civil rights attorneys that are like, I'm heading down there. I'm working pro bono. I'm getting in the mix. A sound engineer, you would think, would do the same thing. I'm going out with my pack and I'm going to rig it up so that everyone can hear as opposed to just, you would just, it was like they were firing a hose at you and not like civil rights. And I'm talking more like
hoses are bad analogy.
That was a bad. It was like, well, some sort of thing that like they sprayed around.
Yes.
And then as it passed you, you would just hear like, and he's lying about his tax. And then it would just
the Doppler
disappear.
Effect. Yeah. It's the cone of shame. Mm-hmm. There should be, you got to do a whatever. So let's talk about a couple of things, David Huntsberger.
Sure.
First of all, we can talk about the fact that you have a new CD coming out.
Yeah.
And are you going to record it on this next tour?
I'm going to try to record as many shows as possible. And then if one of them grabs me, I'll just take, I like it in its full form. Like,
One set.
Yeah.
And then just post it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It's, I recorded my new album. Hello, I Am Not the Hero of This Story.
Oh, yes.
Available number one on Amazon and iTunes and number three without a bullet. On Billboard.
Way to go.
I know. It's never made any of those lists before. Hence the continuing harping of it. Anyway, but I recorded like five shows.
Yeah.
And I picked one of them and then just grabbed better versions of those jokes from another one.
Yeah, I did that with a CD, and that's probably the best like sounding one that I did. But I always felt a little, I mean, I know it's show business, but I always felt like this is a little.
Well, the thing is it feels more authentic and it feels more honest to just, but I always feel like, It's like any sort of light Photoshop on a headshot. You're like, no, this is what I look like on the best day. On a bad day, sure. Because there are bad pictures of me. Like, there's a woman who doesn't like me who sometimes changes my Wikipedia page. I don't have anything to do with my Wikipedia page. but I occasionally someone will say, hey, your Wikipedia page has that horrible picture back up. And I'll go and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a picture of me. That is not a good picture of me. And
why then what's her big focus here?
She doesn't like me. Because
just in general.
I supported Tig Notaro.
Oh, geez. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so the lady who doesn't like Tig does not enjoy me.
I see.
And I don't know her.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she's perfectly nice in many ways.
I should have made that connection.
But,
yeah, okay.
But no, that's it's fine. But what I have to do then is I have to go like a loony goon and say on Twitter, who knows how to change a photo on Wikipedia? Because I don't. Can you put a headshot or anything that doesn't make me look like I have an extra ear? And so I always think, like with any sort of photo, with the album, they're going to come and see a live show. And a live show is always exciting. It's always a different version of, and I like, and some of the jokes I just said better. You know, I just, all the words were said in the correct order as opposed to the incorrect order.
Yeah, I know. It is, it's weird when
I'm not looking for the most laughs. I'm looking for the right way I said it.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Not that there's a script in my head, but there is like a gymnastics routine of like, well, that was my 10 or 9.8 or whatever the good
score.
Stuck
the landing on that
one.
Yeah,
yeah. Whereas this one, like the crowd still cheered and maybe they enjoyed it, but I know I can do better than that.
There's a better version of that joke, I believe, Friday first show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did for Hero. And then, of course, as soon as you publish anything, you write a better punchline.
Yeah,
or some of the jokes, and so sad, too bad.
Yeah, you just move on.
Just please come see live comedy.
Yeah,
so you're gonna do a bunch of live shows up the West Coast. David Huntsberger is doing a tour in May,
and then I'm doing the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh in August. I'm gonna try to record some of those as well.
That's neat.
So that's kind of also why the pre-order is, like, I'm doing it through Kickstarter to try to like raise some funds.
Oh, so
for
you're
that.
Gonna do a Kickstarter for the new CD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, but rather than like, I don't like the idea, especially with so many other causes currently existing, of just like, hey, chip in some money. I like giving there a return. Like,
right, at least you'll get a CD.
You'll get something.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah, so, and then I'm having some animators chip in, who they did on my last project as well. And like, I toured that around with like, you know, performing in front of big screens and having all this cool animation play behind me.
Yeah.
And then we shot it as a thing. And I want to do this the same way, but I want to do the touring with it a little bit more. I don't want to race right into like trying to film it or anything.
Another
like that.
Great way to support David Huntsberger: buy the existing stuff. What
oh,
the
true.
Heck?
Yeah,
it's
I got all kinds of stuff out there.
There's stuff out there. But now we're getting close to 15 minutes, and we still haven't talked. We talked horses last time you were.
That's
on.
Right. Yeah,
you were the one who told me like to stick your face right behind the nostril of.
Have you tried that yet?
I haven't. I've so wanted to yet, but I've told other horse people that, and they're like, he is correct. That is a really sweet spot of a nice horse.
Yeah.
And it smells like grass. Smells,
it's great.
Anyway. So, but you wanted to talk about animation because you bought a new light table.
No, I made a new light
you
table.
You made a table.
Yeah. I started it probably. I mean, this is something that should not have taken that long, but I don't do a ton of animating. So I have to like kind of talk myself into it. My plan was like, the first one I made was like 3 minutes long in 2007.
Okay.
And that started with, I was working at a comedy club, and a guy I worked with, we were talking about one of my jokes. It was a really dark joke about a person committing suicide in a very complex way. And he was like, I don't see how if he jumped out the window, then this could happen, and then he could get shot there. And I'd be like, I'd be like this. And there was no other way to draw it. I mean, I guess I could have storyboarded it, but
yeah.
I was so bored working there. I drew each line, and then I would like make a copy of it and then white out certain parts of it and then redraw them in and make a copy of that. And it was like the most laborious, stupid way to animate something.
But you had an office job.
An office
with
job.
With a copier.
I had a copier, as many copies as I wanted to make. And then I shot it into a camera, just like bing, 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 bing. Like,
oh, like stills?
I had a Hi8 camcorder. And
okay.
I would go, you'd have to be like trigger quick to bing, bing, like record, unrecord, and try to get all those times to match up, which they didn't. So when you press play and press fast forward, like certain ones where it had lagged a bit,
it was a little jerky.
It would speed up and slow down. But overall, it like told the story well enough.
Could you have done stills?
Oh, yeah. That's what I do now.
Okay, because that's... Because that's what animation is, right? There's a series of stills that have been moved quickly.
Right.
That have, okay, is that...
That's it, yeah.
Let me... Allow me to define animation, which I'm like, pretty sure that's what it is. Yes, Jackie, that's what it is.
I don't think you could say it more concise. A series of stills that have been moved quickly.
There you go, finally. Finally, I get something. It's, all right. Well, that's neat. So it can be done now... You can take pictures, but there's software now, right?
The Toon Boom came out. I messed with Flash a little bit. I never really enjoyed that. The tweening aspect, everyone kept telling me how easy that was going to make things. You would drag in an element and you'd say have an arm that was at this angle, and then you'd drag it 10 frames and change the arm to this angle, and the tweening would take care of all the movement in between. Make it look like that arm was going, hello. I liked the simplicity or the fact that you could figure those things out. I don't know. There's something like Walt Disney-esque about, I think the same way that people stack up dominoes and they tip them over and just watch them and think, doing it. Like that weird feel. That's to me like what animation is. Like, oh, it's moving. It's going.
Oh, there you go. I made a thing that now it's moving.
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of like Andy, he likes video games, but he really likes now to make board games.
Oh,
he just wants to make the pen and paper game. He just wants to do it. And so as much as he loves that there's a video game at the end of it all, he wants there to be a paper and pen prototype initially. So
yeah, I think you got to be honest with yourself in that, I suppose. I mean, in my head, I'm animating stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah?
But in actuality, I write down a handful of them, and then every, 5 years, I get around to, all right, I'm going to do this.
Okay, so you write down essentially, a tiny script or a tiny, like a joke premise to some extent. And then, and then 5 years later, or however long it takes, you look at it again. Oh, I never did make that thing about the guy jumping on top of the roof and then flying away and turning into an opposite person.
Totally.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the last one I did that I finished, when I first moved to LA, I didn't have a light table. I had a white table that I would just shine a light on from above. So it's a lot easier if the light source comes from below the paper.
Thank you. Okay, so do you need special paper?
No,
that's more translucent.
I like to use 20-pound paper.
Okay,
but you can use lighter. It really doesn't matter that much as long as you can see.
Why do you need to see through it?
Because did you ever make those little flip books when you were a kid?
No.
So you would take my friends and I were obsessed with whether it was you'd get a the best thing to do it with was a stack of post-it notes.
Yeah,
and then you would just draw a little stick figure person, and maybe they'd be running with a long jumping pole.
Yeah,
or maybe they would run and they'd blow up, or you could do a bomb that landed and then exploded.
Yeah.
But then you would just flip through it and you'd watch all that stuff happening. So you kind of needed to know from the page before, all right, well, he's a little bit further this way. The little stick guy's a little further this way.
Oh, so are you stacking pieces of paper on top of other pieces of paper?
I do them one at a time, yeah. I'll put one on the other, and then so I can see the image that's below it.
Okay.
And then I go, okay, so right here the ball is being thrown out of the person's hand. It is an inch out.
Right.
So now I'm going to do an inch and a quarter and just draw another ball. So that might be the whole frame. Trace the guy, arms in the same spot, ball just a little bit further to the right. That is so obnoxious to people that have the software. They're like, dude, just move the ball. Why would you draw that over and over?
And because that's the fun part for you. You're like, well, that's I want to see the garden grow.
Yeah,
I want to see the. So is now just from a spatial kind of sense.
Sure.
I just need to know. So here's the table, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So underneath the table, there's the thing that you just draw.
Yeah,
you drew dude.
Yep.
Hand ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of it.
Blank piece of paper.
So you can see this dude.
Yep. I can see the dude that just existed and is now in the past. Now I'm drawing present dude.
He is now in the past. So there he is. So, and then I can kind of see where that ball is. And now the ball is going to be a little higher.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm doing?
Yeah. In fact, I could show you a thing with this paper if you'll allow me.
Please allow me.
So this might take a second because I'm going to roll it up. So this is a two-frame animation thing This might not work here because this pin is...
If you want.
But you can do this. So if you have what you've drawn here, you can... Your paper will want to roll back. And then so you could have one frame here of like a person smiling and then here frowning. And when you go back and forth, you'll see...
like two different faces.
Okay.
So you have two frames that really quickly just from,
right.
Just from that.
Okay. Well... When we are done holding onto microphones, we might do this.
Okay.
Just so that I can see what the hell you're talking about.
Okay.
Because I can, I mean,
yeah,
I can
you need a page below. So I didn't explain.
Oh, it needs two pieces of paper
yeah.
to some extent.
Well, let me see. You've got, okay. No. It needs one piece of paper. I can fold it here. But you got to sometimes like tape it down. Oh, okay. Now we've got to post it. So this is where, see, you got a flip book there.
Right.
You could do that.
It's already happening.
Let me try
this. There's already a binding.
Yeah, I'll show you after this is over. You fold a piece of paper in half.
Yeah.
And then you would do your roll away thing. Okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to do it correctly here.
Okay, so you're just going to do it. We've got time. This is
okay,
a podcast.
Yeah, this is a tactile
I love that it's
podcast.
A visual... something visual is happening. I should probably Snapchat this. Just so... the world can
it's
possibly
the tighter you get this roll, the better off you'll be. So now I got it really like really want to crease that in there. Oh, that's going to be good. See, because now you're removing this. So you draw like a face here. This guy's angry.
Angry
and
then
face. You got this person here,
which you've traced.
Who's excited?
And okay.
We'll do this again.
Then you'll roll it.
Our crispy roll here, and then.
Oh, there!
So you could do that with throwing or like slapping.
And then you
the
write
face.
Music, and then who knew that there was music being written as well?
Well, the scoring is my least favorite. I like to just like have either like a stand-up bit or a song, and then just the animation goes over it, and I move on with my life. I did one. I legitimately drew the whole thing in probably 2 days. That's typically how I would do it is like just spend like 12 or 15 hours just straight, just drawing constantly.
Right.
And I use a lot of loops and stuff. And then I go, all right, I got it. I got all the frames I'm going to need. And some of them I can double back on, or I can grab this one and put it here. And in the editing afterward, I can cheat it and make this editing or make this look like it's longer than it is.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh God, now I got to like sound edit it and put in like the door creaking and footsteps and things hit it. And that part was all the animators I've talked to have been like, that's the best part. That's the most fun. I hate it.
Right. Cause you just want to draw, you want to draw something funny.
Yeah.
And have it animate.
Right.
You don't,
it doesn't, it's rarely even that funny. I don't know what, it's a different part of my brain. I mean, maybe there's something like comical, but mostly I just, it's again the dominoes thing, like there it goes.
So okay, now do you have where are these examples of the ones that you've done? Are they on your
there's
YouTube
a Vimeo page,
and
a YouTube page?
There's a Vimeo and a YouTube, both. Mm-hmm. So just David Huntsberger Vimeo, YouTube, look it up.
Yep.
And you can watch how many. There's a couple.
I did. There's one that's not on there. I only show it at the Junk Show, you know, my monthly show you've done a couple times.
Yeah.
So that video, I don't know if you caught the video that plays at the beginning, like the guy that's chasing the hamburger and then.
Yeah, they look like Terry Gill. They look like the Monty Python guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They have more of a, they have kind of a, it's like a, it's an animated, but there's steampunk and it feels like there's a giraffe involved and you're like, what's happening?
So, yeah.
Yeah. But that, so I think that that's. I feel like that's comedy. Is that not? That feels like. Feels
well,
like
what that was meant to be.
Fun.
I started it years and years ago. Like my website at the time, I was just putting up comics all the time. I just drew comics like one a week,
just
and then
web
after
comics,
yeah, just web comics, like little single panel guys.
Okay,
and then now everything's been shoved over. And I mean, there are tentpole like web comic sites, but I wasn't like prolific enough to do that. So now everything for most people has just been like, what's on your Instagram or what?
You know,
are you putting things on some other site? But I really liked having like this mom and pop shop, you know, my own website. And I thought I'll make this video as kind of a welcome. There was a period where people's websites kind of had a welcome flash video. Remember that? And then
below it
would say enter. And you're like, oh, I guess I'll go in there.
What a pain in the ass those were to load.
Worse. But I really had a lot of time on my hands just sitting in like comedy, hotel rooms days on it. So I would draw like, And that was just a collection of little characters from the comics that I like had the guy running past.
Okay.
And that was it. Like, that was the whole idea. It was like, oh, he's just going to run past all these things. And then if you're familiar with my comics, you'd be like, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that thing too. And then it just it was so long and boring. I would show it to people and they're like, he's just running left to right. Does anything happen? And like, no, it's just like a bad video game.
No, but look what happened. It's the guy ran.
And then I added that new ending and then it fits sort of the junk show now where like, it's a good opening to the show, but it was just a matter of like this, I'm putting this somewhere.
Right.
You put all this work into it and then you're like, oh, it's just this pile of crap. Like no one likes it. And that's the weird thing with animation. Like all the, and maybe life too. Like you put in all this work and that doesn't equate to any level of like, well, now that must mean success. Like, nope, people can still hate it. You can do tons of work. People are like, nah, I can live without that.
Right. You put so much work into it. And animation is actually it's funny that that's sort of, like the thing that you love to do that isn't stand up. You're like, no, stand up's my job.
Yeah.
Stand up's the thing that I love to do, but it is not. This is the other thing that I love to do that also doesn't make a lot of money and, or no money. Right.
Yeah.
It's the kind that's,
I've never made a cent from animating and people have offered me stuff like, hey man, I'm doing this thing. Can I pay you a little bit? And I just feel so underqualified. And I also hate doing it. Like, unless I'm right in the middle of doing it, then I love it. As soon as I'm done, I'm like, all right, I'm never doing that for quite a while.
That's hilarious. You're like, don't want to start this.
Yeah.
But once I find myself in it, I'm having the time of my life. It's over. I'm never touching this again. That's hilarious.
Pretty much. Yeah. I just have, it's probably like writers. Like, writers like having written.
Yes.
And that's how I, or exercise. You know, I'm someone
I've heard with all about those things. Sure.
I just look at it and go, God, this is miserable. And yet it starts to become appealing and then I do it. The one that I started like in 2008, I got to the sound editing. I legitimately didn't finish it until 2016. It took me 8 years of just having it sitting there like, I should probably finish that. I should probably get around to it.
What have you ever thought about just doing silent?
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know.
It just adds a whole other level
to it. You could do it like, Don Hertzfeld, I don't know if you know him. Every now and again, his videos will get passed around because he just does a lot of minimal type stuff. And then they're very hand-drawn. They're really cool. A lot of them just look like almost
how
like
do you spell
stick
Hertzfeld?
Figures. I believe with it's H-E-R-T-Z-F-E-L-D-T.
Hertzfeld, Dan?
Don Hertzfeld.
Don Hertzfeld.
Maybe I'm getting the name wrong. But, well, I mean, he just did stuff, like, on his own, and then The Simpsons contacted him, and he did, like, a beginning intro thing for them.
Wow.
It was bananas. Like, and so that's what I like is there's this little weird world of people that really enjoy animation and, like, support each other. I'm not in that world at all, but I like watching it.
Right. You're adjacent.
I'm adjacent.
You can see it from a distance.
It's purely a hobby for me. I think, like, I always liked, like, you know, you have little cubby holes for ideas like that could be just a stand-up joke or that is a sketch or that is an animation or that's just a comic or they all seem to fit kind of somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like when they ask comics to act and stuff, you're like, no, I'd love to act.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why I went into this.
Yeah.
And like will you host this thing here? Now you're a talk show host.
Yeah.
Now you're, it's a game show and you're like, oh, okay. Or you're a weatherman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, Dallas Raines, I think does stand up or somebody does stand up that Frost. I don't know what his name. He's one of the, they all have like weather names.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
he does.
That local weather guy does stand up.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I want to do acting.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. I want to do it. But
I'm here to do acting.
Are you guys doing acting here? Because I was hoping to do some. But there's things that I've thought about writing, but I haven't written them.
Yeah.
They're cubby holes of things that, like, well, what if I wrote a series of where I am just sitting in a weird, very barren-looking room pretending to be Beyoncé's weird white aunt?
Yeah.
That she doesn't talk to anymore.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, not even, it could be Beyonce. It could be, Just anyone famous.
How long have you had that idea?
I've had it for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years of me going, well, what kind of things would she say? And I was like, are you ever going to sit down and write any of that? Nope.
Does it not you? Because those things not me, yes, where I start looking at a life like, oh, I'm gonna either be too old or I'm gonna have never done it.
Right.
And that's going to bother me. Like, I need to just... Yeah. Even if it sucks, like, I need to do it.
Right. I feel like there's an opportunity there to entertain people in a different way that I'm blowing off.
Yeah.
By not doing the work. And
you've probably seen Henry's Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
That was like a perfect example. Like, he just had himself in a camera and just shot it. Like, I just wrote it and shot it.
I just had him on and I was like, well, was it a stand? Where'd you put the camera?
Some of them, he gets them like hanging directly above the pot, you know, in the kitchen. Like, those are the ones that really confuse me, where I'm like, how? He must have been climbing up on his stove, yeah, as a guy alone in his apartment. Like, oh, there we go.
Right. And then what? Editing it? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. It's like the sound editing with the animation. You're like, oh, and then there was more work after, yeah, you figured out where to put the camera. Then what?
Yeah.
How do you... Isn't there someone I could pay?
That's what I like so much about it, though, is that you, as rudimentary as it is and terrible looking, you still controlled like telling that story, yeah, in a way where you're like, oh, if I were a better artist, I would draw it from like a view under the person, but I can't really draw like the chin to nostril to forehead angle very well. So it's just going to be a straight on thing.
Right, right. It's going to be very much, this is how we're looking at it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a web comic called Ogloff? I've mentioned it a bunch of times on the Dark
I don't think
Forest.
So.
It's a sword and sorcery dick joke,
oh, okay,
kind of thing. And it is sometimes so dumb. Mm-hmm. So very, very dumb. And always funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes enormously filthy. Just ridiculously, hilariously filthy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like this week's was not filthy at all. It was just funny.
Uh-huh.
But it's always so beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what is happening? This is art.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, you drew a vulva in minute detail. Look at the labia majora and the minora. What is happening? You're like, no, it's a cave front. Oh, I see. And there's a sword. Oh, I see what's happening. And but I mean, so sometimes it's just dumb. But the colorization, like the coloring, yeah, and the detail and the expressions on people's faces are glamorous and glorious.
Well, I love like cartoonists, you know, comic creators and animators, because like they are so creative and do things where like just the manufacturing of it, for anyone else, we'd be like, look at this one panel of a drawing I did. Isn't this great?
Right.
Be like, oh, that's just part of my story.
Yeah.
That's just one element of this thing I'm doing.
Right. This is one of thousands of things that I've drawn in the last year.
Yeah.
And you're like, really? Because, you know, I did animate one, have one joke animated.
Greg
once.
Franklin, right?
Greg Franklin.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
He was amazing. And I've talked to him since then about doing others. And he's like, yeah, that was a lot of work. And I said, yeah, I would have to find like double the money that he had.
Well, that's why I'm trying to do this sort of fundraising endeavor, or the pre-order for the CD thing through Kickstarter, is like to put animation together,
yeah,
to go to the Fringe Fest. But also, like, most of the animators just like doing it. Like, oh, let's do it again. But yeah. I really want to be able to give them some amount of compensation.
Right. Because
it's really fun. It's fun to, like, create the stand-up. It's fun to like work with them and kind of, you know, what do you see this being, or
but
whatever.
Have some value.
It's, some value, yeah. Yeah,
just to make sure, you know, I know this is lame.
Yeah,
like I'm doing Bridgetown. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a live Dork Forest, and I asked the Double Clicks, who are, they're Garfunkel and Oates but sisters. Mm-hmm. And one plays a cello, the other one plays a piano. Uh-huh. They were on the Joko cruise. They're very funny and very smart and, mm-hmm, very sweet and great. But I was like, would you guys want to do like a 20-minute set before the Dork Forest? And then I have the guy who wrote all the Eberron Dungeons and Dragons books is going to be the guest. And, uh-huh, they're willing to do it. And I was like, I am so sorry about the lack of... there's going to be some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there is some money. But I was like, I wish there was more.
Yeah, because I mean... especially with the budget being taken away from the arts. I mean, it seems like now more than ever, it's just like, well, you got into it because you like doing it. Like, right. Yep. But it is a very valuable, like viable part of society.
Yeah.
I wish we valued it more in, right, a number of ways.
Well, and I think that some people just haven't thought, they didn't think it through. They were like, well, we're going to get rid of freeloaders.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get rid of people who need services. Wait. those are sadly the Venn diagram of that.
Yeah.
It's so I was going to ask, I mean, we're. Do you want to talk more about the creation of animation, or do you want to talk about your favorite stuff that's on right now?
What's the dorkiest? I mean, I can tell you getting into it, what, you know, sort of planted the seeds that I think just when you're a kid, like you're exposed to a ton of animation, but there was a period when I was probably in like fifth grade. I don't think Mr. Magoo was on the air. I think it had been over with long ago, but you know, I watched the Jetsons and the Flintstones. Like I think everyone kind of grew up on those, or at least in my
those
era.
Those were in rotation
constantly. Yeah. They hadn't been on forever, but I was still, you know, I've seen this one before, but otherwise that was pretty rare. You could watch so many new ones, and I love the Jetsons, but they were just on. They were just stuff that like happened to me. Whereas there, and I don't remember how this started, but I just start almost like I was summoned. Just get out of bed and head out and sit down like right in front of the TV at like 5 o'clock in the morning, watch two episodes of Mr. Magoo.
Right.
And then get up and go back to sleep. And I don't really remember ever explaining that to anyone or really saying to myself, like, you know what I love? I think maybe a friend on the bus had said, like, you watch Mr. Magoo? And that was about it. And then I just thought it was so cool. And there's nothing about that animation that really stands out.
I was trying to just think about it because it feels kind of Flintstones and yet kind of South Park because it feels real two-dimensional.
Oh, it is. And Woody Woodpecker and, you know, all the Looney Tunes stuff. Like, they all have their own feel a little bit. But Mr. Magoo, it was just very two-dimensional.
It didn't have the same vibe as, like Bugs Bunny always had sort of a depth to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of... Like, there's those... all the movements are a lot, you know, big eyes and... peeking around the side of a building and, you know, those things are very Looney Tunes-y.
But there was, and the Looney Tunes, but I think Bugs Bunny in particular had more of a field of, a depth of.
Like, a little bit, yeah. He felt rounded. He didn't
the
feel...
only Magoo that I've seen recently is the Christmas Magoo.
Oh, okay. Is that Leslie Nielsen one? Is
it's the one Magoo? Where he does, he's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, okay.
It's a Magoo. It's Mr. Magoo playing an actor who's in a production of A Christmas Carol on Broadway.
Oh, nice!
So it's like this weird meta nesting doll of weird, but he's still Magoo, right? Uh-huh. So instead of going on stage and giving his soliloquy, he goes to the restaurant next door, and so good writing as always. But the Broadway kind of settings. Are full of detail.
Yeah.
It's very much a mat. It's like seeing theater.
Yeah.
Because he's in front of essentially what you can tell is a facade.
Yeah, but those are fun. Like
it's
like
beautiful.
The most recent thing that caught my attention that way was like Squidbillies. I just loved their backgrounds. They were really cool and they were just so abstract and weird, and yet they were enough to like convey like this is where the show takes place, but it would just be almost like splotches of paint and weird, like it was just so bizarre. It was like a Basquiat painting or something. It was just kind of all over the place.
Wow.
I love that.
Squidbillies
was an Adult Swim show. I don't know if it's still on anymore. I mean, they had that period where like I really liked like the Venture Bros. You know, I didn't get into like Aqua Teen Hunger Force as much as everyone else. It was a little too flash animation for me, the way stuff moved.
Okay.
Squidbillies is just like some of these rednecks land squids.
Okay.
It's like they're just your you know.
Like, Squidbillies, like hillbillies, but squids.
They're squids, yeah.
I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just silly and crazy. And I really like it. It was just in that when you think of Adult Swim, like to me, that was like the not the quintessential, but it was just so silly.
It's an
and
excellent
like,
example of what Adult Swim wants to be and is often at its best.
Yeah. But my favorite animation, there are two that stand out to me like of all time. Movie Heavy Metal. Did you ever see that? John Candy? And like everything moves and it's almost like this watercolor, hand-drawn, flowy thing.
Yeah.
And then The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, I think is the best piece of animation maybe ever.
Wait. Are they the ones I've probably seen?
Yeah, probably.
Winnie the Poohs?
But they made a movie called The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh that was like a stitch together of, I think, three sort of 15 or maybe 20 minute segments. There's like a winter one, and there's a water one, and then there's one that's kind of fall where there are leaves on the ground.
Okay.
And it just follows Pooh, and I think he's helping Piglet find a new house. And you learn a little bit about...
I remember that story. Might have read it.
But if you get a chance to watch that again, it is so aesthetically, and like, if your brain's sort of like, man, there's all this fucking Trump stuff and everything's crazy, and it's just... Just go watch that and just be reminded what it feels like to be a kid and like sort of just be mesmerized. It will still have that effect, I think, if you like animation.
I have to say that the thing about Winnie the Pooh is that it is soothing.
Totally.
People are making terrible life choices. And when I say people, I mean animals. The characters are always making terrible life choices and are weirdly bossy or
when you forget how dumb Winnie the Pooh is and how aware of it he is. Like, I'm just a dumb bear filled with fluff. And people are like, that's okay, buddy. It's like, I'm just stupid. All right.
But you're fun to hang out with.
And that's the whole essence of him is just so great. Like, there's something soothing about that. I know they've done like a lot of Taoism shit about Winnie the Pooh, but right. It's there.
It is there. There's because each of those characters is very distinct too, but it's just, they all live together in harmony and their arguments are minuscule. So, and the drawing is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, when he goes into a beehive, he doesn't get stung.
Yeah.
They're just buzzing around and he's like, no, just going to eat some of this honey. Totally going to eat some of this honey and not get stung.
Yeah.
So he never does get stung.
Right.
And the drawing is very beautiful, I think.
Oh, it's great. It's just like the detail and the craft that goes into it and like, you know, a tree that's laying down and like the bark, the way it looks. Like they put so many layers into it. It's just really aesthetically pleasing. I think that's lost nowadays. Even in the newer stuff, like all the Pixar stuff is gorgeous. Like it looks really cool. But there's something about it that it's computery soft as opposed to like, oh, like you can feel a human hand went... You know what? I think this would look really great and sort of shaded it in there. And that is just warmer to me.
Right. Well, what about those? What about Wallace and Gromit? And
I like stop motion stuff. Wallace and Gromit. I don't know if it was there was a frantic element to like Gromit, you know, like there was something about them that was a little too nerdy or I liked when I would see it. But there was something there was some disconnect there.
My favorite one is the Were Rabbit.
Yeah.
The shorter ones are, you know, like the original ones that he did back in the day, they are frantic. They don't hold. I don't know why the Were Rabbit I like. What I do love about stop animation is that no joke is too small for them to spend 6 hours setting it up. You're like, oh, you wanted the bad guy to have cotton candy on his head? And then I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, that took like hours.
That took them like a whole day
of
work.
That's a day of work to make sure that I got to see that.
Yeah.
And that's what I do love about claymation and stop action.
Did you see Anomalisa?
I didn't.
I think you'd like it just for that. I mean, not specifically that aspect, but I like a thing that sort of asks you those questions. You okay? Okay.
I literally just yawned and I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, I'm over this cold.
I started talking Winnie the Pooh and it just soothed you right down.
Literally, I was like, maybe I'm going to have some more coffee. Go ahead.
Anomaly says, I can see why people would maybe not like it. And maybe that's to say like humans were evolving in a way where you go back and watch old movies and they're too slow for you. And now, like, can we be asked to sit there and sort of take in something that's a little bit more deliberate and ask you to think a little bit?
When was it?
It was like last year. It was a Kickstarter thing that Charlie Kaufman did.
And really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It looks really cool. It's like stop motion, and it just deals with the nature of being a person. If that doesn't sound too crazy, like it's a little. Probably
that's
more
broad,
than that,
but
it's
what,
broad. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give anything away about it.
Okay.
It's
who are the characters? Can you say that?
I'll tell you this, and I don't think it'll give anything away. It's only voiced by three people.
Okay.
It's a guy and everyone else. It's a main guy whose voice is very distinct.
Okay.
Every other person he runs into has the same voice. And so that is a key element in it. Like that we're all kind of homogenized and similar. And then there's one other voice.
Okay.
And so it's about him and his search for sort of someone new or a different voice or
okay.
And what it says about himself and who he is. And
Wow.
It's,
all right.
It's great. I think, and it's one that when it ends, you might be like, eh. But then it gives you a lot to think about, which I love.
I don't mind that. There are movies that I've left going, whatever. And then they haunt me, you know, where you're just like, oh, I see what you.
Yeah. And I think that's, later, isn't that the best? Like,
it's kind of
as
the
much
best.
As I like the idea of all the Fast and Furious movies and stuff like that, where, well, fun, cool. Like that was just a bunch of explosions and a chase. Neat. But I like when something just creeps in and it sort of changes you a little bit.
Yeah.
Before, and you're like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not how Anomalisa would do. You know, like it's a prime factor in your whole decision making process in life.
Yes. Now I'm following. She is my God. And that is interesting.
Did you see the Box Trolls?
No, I wanted to.
It's sort of Wallace and Gromit. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, when the Pixar gang settles on a story,
yeah,
like, they've got it. They know every beat, like you're talking about. Like, everything is, you know,
yeah,
very well. And it felt like the Box Trolls could have used just a little bit more time for the story. Not
okay.
to, like, shit on it at all.
Yeah,
I think it's beautifully done. But there's this thing at the end where they show these two characters who are sort of like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like,
yeah,
they're just hanging out, and they're talking, and then they just do this really slow zoom out. And pretty soon you start seeing, like, how fast it is sped up, and you're seeing the, like, animators come in and change parts of their faces, change their bodies, change the stage around them. And it's happening in, like,
what?
100 times speed. So, like,
yeah,
it's like, but you're seeing their, you know, faces move and hearing them go, what do you think this is? Do you think we're actually alive and thinking our own thoughts? Or is there someone moving us at all times that we can't perceive them? They're not around us. Is this the world?
Oh.
And so it's very, like, kind of that meta thing, but it's awesome. It's really cool.
I had a huge night. I had a nightmare not long ago. I finished reading this book called, Off to Be the Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the second one. It was a gift. I talked about a couple episodes ago, with Michael Palasek. But the, it is a story that says that we all live in a computer program.
Uh-huh.
And my cold was so bad a couple of weeks ago that I was in Spokane and I woke up and I could not get back to sleep. I kept having the same recurring nightmare.
Ugh.
And I would wake up and I would see pixelated that I could see where the code had stopped.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In the world. And I was like, if I could just learn how to write code, maybe I could get rid of this cold. And I was like, would it be HTML? Would it be C++? What would it be?
Yeah.
And, but that's, I mean, that I literally, it creeped me out so bad. I haven't been able to start the second book, which I was like, I might not be able to keep going with this one, but that's fascinating. Did you see Up?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Up had this, you know, with Pixar, the way they do movies, I am told. I watched some, like a TED Talk, but not really,
mm-hmm.
Where he explained the process of how they pitch the movies.
Yeah.
And you come in with a story that you want to do a movie about.
Yeah.
And then you have to pitch every single scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked in front of a pile of haircuts, or you're in some sort of conference room,
mm-hmm.
with all the people, and you
is that something that's been said before in human history, or did you just kind of
pile of haircuts? It's last couple of years has been my it's like Suits.
That's great,
but a pile of haircuts seems accurate.
Yeah,
and so ever since I have recently started spending a great deal of money on a haircut, probably 2 or 3 years ago, and uh-huh. I was like, oh, that's what those people all look like. They all look like they spend a great deal of money on a haircut. And so their haircuts.
So great. Yeah.
And
it changes the tone from, like, it's a little bit more gender unspecific.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone in that room got a haircut they felt real good about.
That's a $200 haircut you're sitting on top of right there, or underneath. And
so they pitch every single scene?
Every scene.
It's exhausting.
It's an hour and a half pitch.
Whew.
It's not an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
It's a marathon pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they make the movie twice.
What?
They make the movie and then they make the movie again, supposedly. I believe I'm getting that right if I followed the TED Talk thing right.
Sure. Because I had heard similar things where, like, they go and deconstruct stuff and they really get a team involved and break it down and, you know, say, like, let's walk away from it. Or I think what was the one about the brain?
Oh, the happiness and the different emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the name, but
boy, this is sad.
Does it make you sad?
It makes me gloomy. But yeah, that, anyway, same thing. I heard the same thing where like they really, really deconstructed.
And they really, I mean, that's why I think they're all either great or really close to being great.
Yeah.
And I can see... But it is weird when they are not great because you're like, well, I'm used to like all the Toy Story movies. They got sad, and but they were important. The Up has always driven me a little mad because Inside Out. Inside Out, I thought that every scene made sense.
Yeah.
And every scene was great.
But Up didn't to you?
No. Every scene... It was like two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
It genuinely felt like two different movies. There was the movie about the dogs. And then there was the movie about the old man and the little boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care about the old man and the little boy. I care about the dogs. And I care about the villain in that one. There was the villain who had the dogs. And I was like, what's happening? Why is that guy living in Costa Rica? What's happening? Or wherever. Because they remember they fly away with the balloons. To go to Costa Rica, and they end up at the villains because the old man has to go find his nemesis from when he was a kid. But for some reason, the first 10 minutes of the movie, we have to sit through his wife having a miscarriage.
When
and then
I
they don't
think
have
of
kids.
Up, I think of that. I think of the first 10 minutes being really sad. And then I think of them just walking across rocks until they have the house on the edge. Like I've blocked out or really forgotten.
You don't ever think about the Boy Scout thing at the end of it where the old man is like, he shows up and the kid's dad doesn't show up. I think of that scene.
I just think I've forgotten a bunch of it. I loved it when I watched it, but I forget a lot of stuff now.
Parts of it were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And other parts of it, I was like, you're beating me up with this movie. What is happening with this movie?
What's your favorite Pixar movie? Do you like The Incredibles?
I do like The Incredibles. The Incredibles might be the easiest to like.
Yeah.
Just because it's just a story of family and friendship and ambition and it's essentially the Fantastic Four movie that was never made.
Yeah.
And so they did a really great job with it, I thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your favorite Miyazaki movie?
I haven't even seen Spirited Away, so I can't really weigh in.
There's
there.
It isn't Valley of the Wind, I think is mine.
Uh-huh.
It's the one with the giant bugs.
Oh, okay.
There's giant bugs, man. And I don't like bugs. But
and yet you still love the movie?
I still love the movie because she figures out how to talk to the bugs. And, you know, and you're like,
sold.
Oh, okay. Sold. Her and her giant bug army are, Valley of the Wind, I think, is my favorite one. But other people really like Totoro. Or Princess Mononoke the delivery.
Yeah.
And many of them are very good, but I think what you like about animation, it isn't always like, I tend to get sucked into like, oh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
But because you make it and because you're coming possibly from a different site, you're like, that is pretty, but I also like these other things.
Yeah. I guess it all goes together. I mean, I had some old Simpsons DVDs and a DVD player that would allow you to go frame by frame. So that was really helpful in like learning how to animate, but also seeing like kind of the simplicity they made stuff with. Like, now they don't overthink it. Like, they really just get the point across. And so I think I would imagine every animation studio has their own philosophy there. Like, we're the place that does it bigger and crazier and more. And other places, like, we're just going to do what's bare bones necessary, but really make it, you know, hopefully pretty. Or there's such probably a science to making it aesthetically as pleasing as possible. I don't know if we know that yet, what makes a human's eye drawn to it specifically.
And there's that uncanny valley business too with animation.
Yeah.
Where something looks too real.
Yeah, we're approaching that with eyes and hair and things like that. Isn't that supposed to be right over the horizon? Like,
yeah, I think it was, like I saw Zootopia and then I saw the pet one. I mostly see children's movies. I mostly see blockbusters and children's movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And Moonlight, that's whatever. And
are they animated? No, thank you.
No, thank you.
He is a kid for a little bit, though. Ooh.
Ooh, there's a child. And because I think the Secret Life of Pets, was that a Pixar movie?
I don't think so.
No, but I think it was DreamWorks, actually.
DreamWorks, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but Zootopia might have been a Pixar movie. And Zootopia is like the B-plot. I'm a big fan of the writing. Like, I want it to be whatever it is and beautiful. But Zootopia, I mean, the whole plot of Zootopia was just inclusion and stereotypes and racism and all the isms, right?
Yeah.
So I love a story like that. I mean, I need to be reminded all the time to be tolerant.
Yeah, you're one of those bigots that's just out there forgetting it.
That's it. Always constantly thinking to myself, what is with that blue haired dude? And
Jackie, did you forget about children's movies? Oh, right. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. Zootopia, foxes, quit judging. And oh, that's
they're
funny.
Not predators. You got to know that. You've seen too many movies by this point.
Right. Quit saying that rabbits are cute. We can call each other cute. That's it. And so funny. So what, David Huntsberger, we're getting close to it. Did you know?
Oh, okay. Sure.
And I did yawn during it and I feel really bad about it.
As you should. I won't tolerate it.
It's an outrage.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am feeling better.
And I'm in no way offended by the yawns.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course.
I love coming into the Dork Forest and hanging out.
Dork, 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 dork. It's at, Huntsberger Junk, and The Space Cave is your podcast.
Correct.
Thespacecave.com and iTunes and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
In May, you're going to be going up and down, up and around, sort of westish.
West-ish, up to Vancouver, then sort of down to Denver through like Utah and Idaho, and then back through, I feel like Chris Farley and over when he's in Wayne's World, and then back through like Arizona, back to Los Angeles.
Nice. Any Northern California stuff? Or
Yeah. Sacramento, San Francisco, Mill Valley, and then a bunch of stuff in Oregon and Washington. I'll be there for like a week and a half or something like that.
I should hook you up. There's some sort of hippie pot town in northern I did a one-nighter up there.
That'd
that
be
was
great.
Just a theater.
Really?
It was, yeah. I'll hook you up.
Okay, cool.
And the new CD, you can pre-order. It's gonna be, is it on Kickstarter now in May?
Yeah, I think by the time this comes out, it'll be on there. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And other than that, just go find David Huntsberger doing stand-up comedy, because it's a delight.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And so thanks for being on the show. Rangers, you know the rule out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?